It's time to take this game into overtime.
The official podcast
of the Average Joe's Sports Show
on 90.9 The Light Sports
for our generation.
The following is a presentation of the 90.9 The Light Sports Department. For people who can't get enough of the NBA, we'll take you through this week's action across the nation, following the league's top players, team standings, and the latest NBA news. This is From the Perimeter.
All right, another edition of From the Perimeter. I'm Thomas Pensiero. Joining me is Christian Taylor.
What up, what up?
We're going to two shows a week from FTP now.
Getting big.
It's good. Good to be back in the business. Good to be back in the studio. 90.9 The Light. DeMoss Hall Studios. Christian, Steph Curry was here a couple days ago.
He was. Just yesterday, wasn't it? Oh, no, it's Friday.
Two days ago now. Steph Curry was here 2 days ago, and just like the All-Star game, he was missing threes everywhere.
He was.
They gave him a chance to
He missed a free throw, didn't he?
He missed a free throw, and then they moved him back to the half-court line, and he missed
four
half-court shots. The last one was for $10,000 for charity. What's going on with Steph Curry? We're going to talk about that a little more later, his struggles from the three-point line in the real NBA game, not just convocation three-point line. We're going to talk a little bit about the Cavs, new additions. We're going to talk some MVP talk. We're going to talk some 76ers, you know, the usual stuff that keeps popping up. And, of course, the Knicks, my favorite. They're always popping up in the news. Christian, we're going to start off with the alley-oop segment. I'm going to toss up a segment to you. If you like it, you can slam it right down. Couple of big wins in the NBA, especially in the Eastern Conference, happened this week. The Wizards knocked off the Warriors and the Raptors on consecutive nights, and then the Celtics defeated the Cavs 103-99. That was Wednesday night. Two huge wins for the 2 and 3 seed, I believe. The Boston Celtics are the 2 seed in the East. The Wizards are the 3 seed in the East. Both teams getting big wins post All-Star weekend. Christian, which one of these provides the biggest threat to the Cleveland Cavaliers in the East? Which one of these teams?
Biggest threat to the Cavs is the Celtics. Now the question is, will the Cavs-Celtics matchup happen? Right now the standings, the Cavs are in first, Celtics are in second, 3 games back, Wizards in third, 5 games back, and then the Raptors fourth, 6 games back. So it's pretty tight, 2-4. We'll have to see in these last 20 games or so how things shake up. The way it stands right now, if that continues, I can see the Celtics beating the Wizards in that series, and the Cavs will have no problem with the Raptors, which would create a very interesting Eastern Conference Finals. Now, would the Celtics beat the Cavs? I don't know, but it would be a really good, potentially 7-game matchup.
Well, I don't know if you got a chance to watch that Celtics-Cavs game. I watched
the end of it.
I watched the end of it as well. It felt like a playoff game. It felt like we could get a good 6 or 7-game series out of those two teams, seeing Boston play Cleveland, and they gave them
a
good run.
Matchup.
They gave them a good run for their money. You look at the box score, Isaiah Thomas, 31 points. Jay Crowder, 17 points. And then everybody else contributing. You didn't really have another third star there scoring, but you had 4 guys with 9 or 10 points there. You're getting big minutes from Kelly Olynyk. You're getting big minutes from Al Horford, who, in my eyes, he's been a little bit of a disappointment signing with the Celtics this year. He hasn't been great, but he was 1 point away from a triple-double the other night against Cleveland. His offense is struggling, but they're using him in other ways. I like what Brad Stevens is doing. But now you look at these two teams, Boston and Washington, their points per game are exactly the same at 107.9. Their opponents' point per game are almost the same. Celtics are giving up 105.6, and the Wizards are giving up 105.4. So they're pretty similar going on. Wizards are 2 games back of the Celtics. If the Washington Wizards get that 2 seed, if they overcome Boston, are they more of a threat? Or is it
Boston
no matter what seeding they have?
The 2 and 3 would play each other in the second round. So I don't think if they only switch them back and forth between that, it doesn't really matter. They have the same matchup.
But now you look at home field advantage. Washington is 25-8. Washington is 25-8 at home
and 11-15 on the road.
And they are struggling on the road. So you don't give them a shot if they're if they don't have home field advantage in a series.
I don't give them a shot. I would give them a shot if they do get the two. But do I say they win? Still probably not.
Now, which one of these starting lineups scares you more if you're Cleveland? Because when you get into the playoffs, you need some bench. Yes, you need depth, but you're really relying on your starting lineup because you can play them more minutes because you have more rest days in the playoffs. Of the Boston Celtics, the Washington Wizards, and the Toronto Raptors, which one of those teams has the best starting lineup? Because to me, it's Washington.
Really?
To me, it's Washington.
I'd say the Raptors.
You like the Raptors? If Lowry's back and healthy, 100%.
Back. Yes.
All right. So now you got to alley-oop for me. We
got to
talk some Knicks again.
We know
I love
teams.
It and I hate it. Whenever they're in the news, it's not always the best.
It's never good.
It's never good. Yeah, you're right.
Okay, so your alley-oop, which I know you're going to slam down because it's the Knicks. You know all about them. Derrick Rose was asked about the triangle offense that Phil Jackson loves to run. And when he answered, he said, "Do I have a choice about running it or not?" I don't think we have the actual soundbite. I don't know if we could play the soundbite.
We can't play the soundbite. We could have got it, but he used a little bit of a foul language in there.
But after that, he said, "I just want to win games. Winning takes care of every category for an athlete." And then Jeff Hornacek, who I believe... He's the head coach, yes.
The first-year head coach.
Who basically just listens to everything that Phil Jackson says.
It seems like Phil Jackson's forcing him to do things.
So he confirmed that since the All-Star break, management is using the remaining months to evaluate who fits the triangle. Again, that Phil Jackson loves. So what is Phil Jackson doing? Is he forcing this? You said he's forcing the system on everyone. It's the third rebuild in 3 years. Should he be doing something different? What players stay? What players go? Throw it down.
I'll leave it at this.
I have a bad feeling about this.
You're not wrong.
I have a bad feeling. I don't know what Phil Jackson's doing. He's making a clown show out of the Knicks right now. Three rebuilds in 3 years. This is the exact same thing interim coach Kurt Rambis said last year, that we're going to evaluate the system, we're going to evaluate the players based on the system and put them into two categories. Yes, they fit the system. No, they don't. They're not getting better in the system, and those are the guys we're getting rid of. They said that last year. Now you're doing the same thing this year with a new coach. Phil Jackson is obviously pushing his agenda, pushing the triangle on the coach, on the players. And if he keeps doing this, you're not going to get any free agents. Now we already saw James Dolan kind of piss off all the NBA stars, all the NBA players with the Charles Oakley drama. So that's not going to help free agents. Now Phil Jackson is trying to push an outdated system in the triangle on players and the coach. That's going to turn off free agents, because if you're a free agent, do you want to come to a team and be forced to do a system that you don't want to run?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. Derrick Rose said it right there. Do I have a choice?
No.
No, and that means he doesn't really want to run the system.
What do you think comes first? The triangle offense leaving or Phil Jackson leaving?
I think they're going to be hand in hand. I don't think Phil Jackson's going to give up of the triangle, because that's his baby. That's his baby. He thinks he won with the triangle, when in actuality, he won with Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, Shaq, and Scottie Pippen. It wasn't the triangle. You could run any system with Michael Jordan and win. It wasn't the triangle that got them six championships, right?
Right.
So, but he's trying to force it back into the NBA because nobody else is running it. So it doesn't make sense. He will leave. The triangle will leave when he leaves, and hopefully he leaves soon. That's all I'm saying.
Hopefully
he leaves
soon.
But
how tight are him and Dolan?
I don't think too tight. Dolan just...
Let's hope. For y'all's sake.
Let's hope so. Let's get something positive. Let's get into something. Well, actually, not positive. I want to talk about Kevin Durant here a little bit.
Ooh.
Kevin Durant, big injury news for the Warriors. He's out for at least a month. For the whole month of March, he'll be reevaluated in 4 weeks or so. So it's not even... a certainty that he comes back in 4 weeks. This is a significant blow to the Warriors, who are the number one seed. I mean, we've already seen this now. They've lost two straight, Christian. Two straight games for the defending NBA record-leading win. I don't know where I'm going there. But
I thought you were about to say champs.
I was going to say like, champs, but I...
Warriors blew a 3-1 lead.
Well, the Warriors are now 50-11, but they've lost two straight to the Bulls and the Wizards. That's big news. If Steph Curry and Klay Thompson cannot regain their momentum, the injury news for Kevin Durant could be big. How significant is this injury for the Warriors? Does this hurt their chance for the one seed in the West? Because there's a difference between the one seed and the two seed in the West.
There is, absolutely. It's not like the East. Honestly, yeah, if they keep on playing like this, this is a huge concern. I mean, the Spurs are only three back, and they've won five straight. They're coming on strong.
Spurs are coming.
Yeah, they're right there. They are ready to take that one seed. So Steph and Klay better get it together. If not, who knows?
They're shooting 11 for 64. 11 for 64 from three in their last three games. That's Steph and Klay together.
That's honestly atrocious.
Talk about half-court struggles.
Yeah.
Half-court shot struggles we were talking about for Steph earlier. Now he's still struggling from three. I don't know what it is, but the Spurs are coming.
They're right there.
And we've seen Kevin Durant have injury problems in the past. He had foot problems, and they lingered. We forget how big he's a 7 foot guy.
He's 6'11".
That's harder to heal when you're 7 foot. I mean, a knee injury is no slouch. I mean, what was it, an MCL tear for Kevin Durant, I believe, or a sprain? MCL sprain, that's big. I believe that's something similar to what Steph Curry had in the playoffs last year. And when he came back from missing time, he wasn't the same in the playoffs.
No.
Steph Curry wasn't the same. It took him a while. So now you have to, thinking of that, now you need to be careful if you're the Warriors. You have to
sprained MCL.
Yeah, you need to be careful. You're not going to rush him back. So if he's back for the playoffs, it's going to take him time. You don't want to rush him. And if you're the 2 seed, look at the difference between the 8 seed and the 7 seed. Show me which team you would rather play.
Thunder and Nuggets?
Yeah, the Thunder are the 7 seed right now, and the Nuggets are the 8 seed. Can you name an all-star in the Nuggets right now? Because they don't have one. Yeah, they don't have one. Can you name an all-star in the Thunder right now?
Russell
what's
Westbrook?
That guy's name? Wilson? Was it Russell Wilson?
Oh, yeah.
No. Westbrook. Yeah, that guy. He's there.
So, on pace for 41, 42 triple-doubles, something like that.
And it makes it harder in the second round. Then you have to go play probably the Clippers or the Rockets in the second round instead of playing
the Rockets. And we know that a matchup with the Warriors and the Rockets, that's a three-point shootout. And the Rockets are looking pretty good right now, too.
So, to me, this is a big injury. Yes, they won 73 games without Kevin Durant last year.
But they had other players that they don't have
Harrison
anymore.
But they had Harrison Barnes. They had Andre Iguodala a year younger. What has he done this year?
I haven't heard his name much. I'm sure he's still a solid contributor.
He's solid, but I think he's... I was looking at the stats. I think he's one of the worst offensive rating. He has one of the worst offensive ratings in the NBA.
Granted,
right,
he's on that team for his defense.
But I mean, if you're on the floor,
they still need
you can't be an offensive liability out there. Sean Livingston is another year older. You don't have a legit center. Are you going to give playoff minutes to JaVale McGee? Shaq would say no. So there's a lot going on with the Warriors. Going back to what we were talking about earlier, Cleveland Cavaliers, who lost to the Celtics. They've got opposition in the East now.
They do.
Which team has an easier track to the finals? Is it the Cleveland Cavaliers facing Boston, facing the Wizards? Or is it the Warriors minus Durant trying to go up against the Spurs who are coming, the Rockets who are coming, the Clippers who are finally starting to get healthy again? You might have to face Oklahoma City Thunder in the first round.
In the first round.
Which one of these teams has an easier track?
Honestly, the Cavs. I mean, granted, it's how the matchups shake up, because if they draw the Celtics, I can see trouble for them. But overall, they have a much easier... And they just signed Bogut and Williams. And they're looking pretty good, too. So, and granted, it depends on how long Durant's injury lasts, but even if it's only these 4 weeks, we said the problem with the seeding for after the regular season, and as you said, it's going to take time for him and the recovery process coming back.
All right, let's talk about a few of those teams and a few of their star players. I want to get into MVP talk because it's something we really haven't talked about much on the show in the last few weeks. We are coming close to the end of the season. Like you said, 20 games or so left. We're post-All-Star break.
Post-trade deadline.
Post-trade deadline. Rosters are pretty much final. Moving forward into the playoffs. I mean, look at this. The Golden State Warriors already clinched a playoff spot.
57 games.
That's pretty big. So let's talk some MVP talk.
Let's do it.
It's a new segment that we have. It's called Jump Ball. It's based on stats. So we are going to give you a couple of the stats going on for the top candidates in the NBA. And we're going to go over who we think is leading MVP in the NBA. So you have James Harden, obviously. He's up there. 3 seed in the West with the Rockets. He's a top 3 scorer and league leader in assists. James Harden, league leader in assists.
That is crazy. And it's by like half an assist a game.
I know,
like,
he's up there in 11.2,
I believe, assists per game.
And then you have
11.3.
Now you have Russell Westbrook. He scored 40 plus points in 3 straight games. That's tying the longest streak for active players. He's up there in MVP talks. Also, you can't forget the king, the chosen one, LeBron James. He notched his 49th career triple-double earlier this week for the Cavs. He's doing pretty much everything for Cleveland. And then lastly, to round out the MVP candidates, Isaiah Thomas. He is leading the NBA in fourth quarter scoring with 10.3 points per fourth quarter. That's clutch for somebody who's, 5'9"? 5'9"?
5'9".
That's insane. So, Christian, of these four guys, which one is number one on your MVP rankings?
Russell Westbrook. And why? I think the stat that you gave on Tuesday, when he notches a triple-double, which he's on pace for about 40, as we said a couple minutes ago, which is half the season, pretty much. When he gets a triple-double in a game, they have a 79% chance of winning. I mean, without Westbrook,
he did it again the other night.
Nothing.
He did it again
exactly.
The other night.
I mean, LeBron, yeah, you have a chance to win every game when you have LeBron on your team. But they also have Kyrie, and they have J.R. Smith. They have good role players. Same thing with, I mean, Isaiah Thomas, amazing player this season, but is he the MVP? No. And Harden, I mean, his assist, that's mind-blowing. That James Harden, ball hog, I mean.
New system.
Yeah.
New system's done wonders for him.
It's amazing to see. But overall, I think OKC would be absolutely nothing without Westbrook. And that 79% stat just blows me away.
Well, how close is it for you with these guys? You have Westbrook at one, but how close are the other guys? Is it a runaway between these guys?
It wouldn't be a unanimous like Steph last year, but if I was a voter, I would say it's pretty clear cut. I mean, Harden's the second choice, I would say.
See, I'm gonna lay out this case for you because
okay.
I thought it was Russell Westbrook. I always thought the whole year, the numbers he's putting up, the winning percentage that his team has when he gets a triple-double, I can't overlook that. But now when you think about this, LeBron James, the Cleveland Cavaliers, since LeBron James has been there, they're 4-19 when he doesn't play, when he rests or he's injured. 4-19. They're 0-4 this year when he's not playing. He's also leading the league in minutes per game. And this is a guy who wanted to taper his minutes down, right? But he can't because his team needs him that much. Yeah. A guy in Kyrie Irving who has all the talent in the world, he can't lead this team when LeBron's out there, when he's not out there. They're 0-4 without LeBron, and that's when Kyrie's playing too. So Kyrie cannot hold this team. He cannot carry the team. Kevin Love is now out. What LeBron James is doing at the age of, 32 years old?
32.
He's 32 years old. He's averaging 26, 9 assists, and 8 rebounds a game. At 32 years old, and he's leading the best team in the Eastern Conference. to me, that's MVP right there. I don't know. Yes, Russell Westbrook, what he's doing is amazing. We'll never see another season like this. I never thought we would see a season like this. So it's hard to not give him the
MVP.
All
because of Durant.
It's really hard for me to not give him the MVP. But what LeBron James is doing, it's just something that I've never seen, especially if he beats the Warriors. If he wins the championship, people are going to say he's better than MJ. I'm tired of it if you don't, because he beat the best team ever last year, single-handedly pretty much. I mean, he had help from Kyrie, but he took over that series and beat the best team we've ever seen for a regular season. Ever. And if he does it again, but if he does it again this year,
okay. But MVP isn't based on the finals.
I'm just showing
finals MVP. Well, sure.
Is it most valuable to the team? Is it most valuable player? If it's most valuable player, LeBron James is the most valuable player because every single team he's on is the best team in the NBA almost. And when you take him off, that team is a 25-30 win team.
25 or 30?
30-win team tops without LeBron James.
With Kyrie and Love back in.
We've seen what Kyrie can do without LeBron. He can't do anything. He can't carry the team.
OKC is a 15-win team without Russell. Who do they have? Gibson. That's their best player.
But they're still only the 7th seed. They're the 7th seed. LeBron James, Cavaliers are the 1 seed. They're the 1 seed in the East. Because of him, they wouldn't be in the playoffs. They wouldn't have a winning record without him. We'll disagree here.
Yeah.
But that's disagree. Okay. Little Jeopardy.
Ooh.
Little Jeopardy.
I like the changeup.
Not everything needs to be NBA related. As we get into our next topic, this is kind of what I felt like when I saw Jahlil Okafor play defense the other night.
Oh.
I was waiting for him to play defense.
And then he just never did.
I don't know if you guys...
I think I heard the fans singing the song, actually.
This
in
song?
In the stands. Yes, the Jeopardy theme song, waiting for him to play defense.
I played this by accident, but that turned out pretty good.
Up.
I don't know if you guys saw this video of Jahlil Okafor. Now,
we got to share that on the Facebook page or something.
The star of the Philadelphia 76ers.
For the rest of the season.
For the rest of the season. He played some Matador defense. He was standing there in front of a player who had the ball and just, I've never seen.
He was watching TV.
He was literally just shuffling his feet, going back and forth, didn't put his hand up when the shot was going up, didn't even go for the rebound. It looked like, you know, like when you're in practice and your coach
kind of just to say that.
Throws you the ball and just kind of stands there to like, oh yeah, pressure, right? That's kind of what it looked like.
Absolutely.
And this is in a game that was relatively close. What is wrong with Jahlil Okafor? What is wrong with the 76ers? I mean, I don't know. I've said this multiple times. I don't think they're as far as everybody thought. They really don't have much to show if they have continual injuries from their guys. Now you need Jahlil Okafor to step up. He hasn't, Christian.
I don't understand him. And being biased, being a Carolina fan, I would say it's because he went to Duke. That's the first problem.
There you go.
But we won't go there. My best guess for this is he knows that they have no chance for anything with him as the star. Like, let's just be honest. And so he's just like, whatever, we'll get another good draft pick. That's not really a good thought process as an NBA player who's getting paid millions to do this on a nightly basis.
Well, he's going
to
form a reputation, is he not?
Yeah.
Does he already have a reputation of this? It kind of seems like it.
Right. So, if I was him, now with all the other injuries, Embiid's gone, they traded Noel, you are the star, as you said. Why wouldn't you try and show the skills that you have? Especially, maybe you're trying to get out of Philadelphia in the future. You show teams what you're made of, but he's fine with not playing, and it's very confusing.
It's very concerning.
Yeah.
If you are...
If I'm another team looking at that...
If I was a fan of the 76ers, let alone if I was in that organization, you have to be concerned. You have to be concerned at what this guy's portraying in a game that's close. He doesn't want to play defense. He doesn't want to help his teammates. He doesn't want to put full effort out there. I don't know if he wants to get shipped out, but...
That's a great question. And it goes back to why would they trade Nerlens instead of him? Like, I know if they traded Okafor and Noel was in this situation, he would not be playing the same way. He would be giving it 100%. They say trust the process, but some sort of process, all right?
All right, let's go into who flopped on the week. One of the teams that a lot of people had a lot of expectations coming into the post-All-Star part of the NBA season was the New Orleans Pelicans. Recently acquired DeMarcus Cousins, one of the best big men in the NBA. They did win a game the other day against the Pistons, but they've lost three straight before that, their first three games with DeMarcus Cousins. And I believe he was he suspended for that win that they just got?
Yeah, he
against?
Was.
Yeah, so he didn't even play in that
Too
game.
Too many technicals.
Which we talked about on our last show, he probably shouldn't even got a technical there.
Right.
So he shouldn't have been suspended, but they ended up winning without him against a mediocre Pistons team. But what is wrong with the New Orleans Pelicans? I mean,
we said
were the expectations too high coming into the first few games with DeMarcus Cousins and Anthony Davis?
For sure. I mean, they even said it. Both of them said it. This is going to take time. But everybody, I mean, even Kyle, the Pelicans fan, he said, yeah, this is going to be great. This is going to be awesome. Like, these two guys, we're going to be fine. We're going to get the 8 seed easily.
He even said the Warriors should be worried if they had to play the Pelicans. And
right now, the Pelicans are 4 games back of the 8 seed with 20 games left in the Western Conference. They're 13th out of 15th in the conference.
And to be honest, they really have no shot. They really have no shot.
And for the future, it could be great, but right now...
They better hope that they can re-sign him. That's all I'm saying. If you're going to...
I think they didn't
give up too much, but you better hope to re-sign him. Now, can we stop calling it a big three in New Orleans, though?
Because
I heard a lot of talk about a big three with Drew Holiday. It's not a big three. Just because the drop-off between the third-best player and the fourth-best player is a lot doesn't mean
Drew Holiday
it's a big
does
three.
Never make a third in a big
well,
three.
It was a big three for the Pelicans because who's their fourth option? Exactly. You don't know. They don't have a fourth option. So to say it's a big three for their team, sure, but it's not a big three in the NBA. It's not,
not
Wade,
at all.
LeBron, Bosh. It's not Klay, Draymond, Steph. Without Durant. But
yeah,
I hated how I heard so much talk about a big three, so much hype going into the second half of the season with the New Orleans Pelicans. One, it's going to take time between those two to mesh together. And it's going to take time because they don't have other talent on that team. So they're going to have to go. That's really where you really put the work
in. Honestly, I'd rather, for their sake, they should not want to make the playoffs. Because I think DeMarcus does want to stay around. He's excited about this future.
They need to
really
put the work in
it.
To get talent around him now.
Exactly. And so hopefully get a good draft pick.
Well, they traded their draft pick.
You're right.
They traded their draft pick. Which you had to give up for DeMarcus Cousins.
Right.
But they only gave up one, which is good. So they have another one next year. But
hopefully the excitement of these two players can draw on a point guard. Or some sort of guard. Maybe a shooting guard
talent.
Because they have Holiday.
I don't know what talent,
point,
but you need talent to put in
they
there.
They need something.
And to be honest, you might need a new coach.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure how much of this losing thus far has been because of the talent, lack of talent, or Alvin Gentry is just not doing a good job. He's trying to stagger the minutes between Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins, which to me... I understand because you don't have any other talent, so if you take those two out,
and
you're
they have two different styles, in a sense.
But you kind of need to play them a little bit together.
Right.
You kind of have to.
If you're trying to get them to mesh together, I mean, they have to.
Well, that's who flopped during the season. I guess you can count Jahlil Okafor's defense a flop.
Oh, absolutely.
But even counting a flop would be more effort than he put in night. Let's go in to our last segment of From the Perimeter. Our three-point shootout. We'll take three topics. three happy topics. We'll go over them real quick. Let's start with the first one.
Let's do it.
A couple of budding stars in the NBA. A couple of guys. Let's start with one of your own guys.
Absolutely.
You're wearing the Charlotte Hornets
hat.
I
am.
Let's talk about one of Charlotte's own, Frank Kaminsky. Frank the Tank. He's averaging 20 points per game post All-Star break. Two of the four games, he had a double-double as well. He's got a 2-to-1 assist to turnover ratio. For a big man, that's pretty good.
It is.
What are you seeing from Frank Kaminsky that's making Michael Jordan kind of look smart for drafting him?
I mean, he's finally looking like the player people were expecting him to be coming out of Wisconsin. And it's taken time, and it's been disappointing at points, especially the way the Hornets have been playing post 30 games to the season, and they've really fallen off. However, seeing a future with him, Batum, and Kemba together, that looks really promising. I mean, 20 points per game for a big guy. I mean, some of those are threes. He's looking Love-esque. Maybe not Love, but
he's similar game.
He's coming into
similar
his own
output right now.
And that, I mean, the assist to turnover ratio for a big guy.
That's impressive.
I'm liking that.
Well,
the only problem is, I mean, he just got injured and he sprained his shoulder, I believe.
Okay.
And he's going to be out for a few games. However, if he can continue this after and going into next season.
Do you remember 2 years ago, the draft, when they overlooked Justice Winslow to get Frank Kaminsky?
Winslow,
do you remember
the heat that
Michael Jordan got for drafting Kaminsky over Justice Winslow? He got a lot of flack for that.
I wasn't even crazy about it.
Now, what's happening? Justice Winslow, he's out for the year. He hasn't given much to the Heat when he was on the court. Now, Frank the Tank, he's looking pretty good.
He is.
Now, let's talk about a guy who we know pretty well.
Another guy.
Liberty University's own, sort of.
Charlotte Christian's own.
Sort of. Charlotte Christian's own. We're talking all guys. Christian Taylor now. Seth Curry, he's averaging 23.5 points since the All-Star break. 35 minutes per game, 60% from three. 60% from three for Seth Curry.
Remarkable.
Is he the better Curry brother in the NBA? For the week. We'll leave it for the week.
Don't get ahead of yourself. For the week,
he's having a better week than Steph.
I mean, again, it's remarkable. Just seeing this, 60%, that's unheard of. I mean, granted, it's a terribly small sample size, only four games, but 23.5 points. Like, looking at Steph, he's averaging less than that since the All-Star break, it looks like, or right about the same. And he went 0 for 11 that one night. That's 0%, not 60%. Seth, especially with Yogi, Farrell in that backcourt, Dallas has future with that if Seth can keep this up.
They've got a nice young core there. You throw in Nerlens Noel, Harrison Barnes.
And he's been playing 35
Dirk just said
minutes.
He's going to return for his 20th season. 20th season for Dirk. He's returning next year. But let's move into a couple of the moves that we weren't able to talk about last week. A couple of post-trade deadline waiver signings. Matt Barnes signs with the Warriors for the rest of the season. This came after the Durant injury, trying to add some depth. I believe he started his career with the Warriors. Most Warrior fans don't know that because they've only been Warrior fans for a couple years. But Matt Barnes re-signs there. And then the Cavs officially signed Deron Williams and Andrew Bogut. And I didn't realize this, but they really needed Deron Williams and Andrew Bogut. I mean, look at the players that are currently on the roster now. J.R. Smith still injured and Kevin Love still injured, but they really don't have any depth besides LeBron and Kyrie. Iman Shumpert's giving them nothing. Channing Frye's not giving them much. Tristan Thompson, $86 million guy who? What? And they have no backup big man. So Andrew Bogut is the only active center on that team. And Deron Williams is the only other point guard other than Kyrie Irving now. So
and he's the backup point guard that LeBron was looking for.
Does this provide them a good amount of help?
Absolutely.
Just needed depth.
I mean, Bogut, one, he's going to want to match up against the Warriors. Definitely. I mean, he's going to be fighting for that. I believe that's going to be his motivation. And I can see him playing a Mozgov-ish role. From a couple of years ago. So, honestly, that's a pretty solid move. And then, as I said a minute ago, LeBron was asking for a backup point guard. He got one in Williams. He's averaging 13.7 assists a game. Like, most people think he's washed up. That's not bad at all. That is a... That could be a starter, let alone a backup. That's looking good.
All right, lastly, Houston Rockets' incredible three-point success may lead to them surpassing the Warriors' impressive three-point numbers of last season. Now, obviously, they're trying to outshoot the Warriors. Can they get it done? Can they get it done, Christian?
I mean, they can outshoot them, yeah, but outshooting doesn't mean outwinning. So, what do they want in the end?
Now,
a record looks cool, but
I don't think they have one of the most talented rosters, obviously.
No.
They obviously don't have a better roster than the Spurs, than the Warriors, probably than the Clippers, but with the way that they play, if a number of those guys get hot from three, I'd be worried.
I'd be worried.
Can they win 4 out of 7 games from the Warriors?
That's a stretch.
I'd be more worried about the Rockets than the Clippers.
Why would you be worried about the Clippers?
Well, I think the Warriors match up better against the Spurs. So, honestly, if I'm the Warriors, I'm most concerned about the Rockets, because if they get hot, they get hot.
That's the thing, though. You see, the Rockets are weak man's Warriors. That's my opinion of them. And if the Warriors are cold and the Rockets are hot, sure, that could be an interesting matchup. But they just don't have what it takes still. I don't think they can get 4 games, especially when they don't have home court advantage. I can't see them taking 4, even if they're hot.
Well, that will do it for us here in the DeMoss Hall Studios. Thomas Pensiero, Christian Taylor. This is From the Perimeter. We'll be back next week. Thanks for tuning in.